The last call on this morning's call was number 023909, Bass against the Attorney General. Mr. Pollack.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Scott Pollack. I'm representing the petitioner in Donata Bass versus John Ashcroft, the Attorney General. It's an appeal from a denial of an application for political asylum. Facts are set forth in the brief, and I won't labor them in great detail, though I do think it's important to go through them in summary fashion. This court's inquiry is rather straightforward. There's more than 20 years of jurisprudence on asylum cases in this circuit. The real question comes down to whether Donata Bass has presented specific facts through objective evidence to prove past persecution or a good reason to fear future persecution. Specific facts that are in the record and that were presented are uncontroverted. On January 5, 1999, armed men dressed in black with masks came to her home in Albania. They stated that they were representing the state, that is, the Albanian government. There's documentary evidence in the record that the Albanian security police dressed in the way described when they abused political opposition figures from the Democratic Party. They forced their way in, they beat up Mr. Bass's husband and father-in-law, and they raped Mrs. Bass, saying that it was a gift for her husband, that he wanted justice, and they would show him what justice is. The record shows that her husband was a Democratic Party election official who had refused to certify the results of a constitutional referendum 1 to 2 months before the attack. Afterwards, he was attacked and beaten 3 times by persons who made direct or oblique references to his election-related activities. After the January 5th attack, Mr. and Mrs. Bass fled Albania to the United States, and the record also shows that the family has continued to receive serious threats of physical violence and harm if Mr. and Mrs. Bass return to Albania.
You say the family, who specifically has received those continued threats?
The father, father-in-law of the petitioner. He was detained and beaten by the police, who made references to the petitioner's husband. There were also letters that have been received on several occasions by the family stating that they would commit further atrocities against Mr. and Mrs. Bass.
Are those documents in the record?
They are in the record, yes. Specifically, they were part of a motion to reopen that was made to the Board of Immigration Appeals. The motion to reopen was denied by the Board of Immigration Appeals, but the government placed that motion in the administrative record, and it's our view that you can review those as well. I mean, we're really talking about a situation, a real concrete situation of danger to this family. Now, as for the quantum of evidence required, the Supreme Court has stated that in the case of a person claiming to have a well-founded fear of persecution, so long as an objective situation is established by the evidence, it need not be shown that this situation will probably result in persecution, but it is enough that persecution is a reasonable possibility. So and in the Cardoza-Fonseca case, the Supreme Court also said that just because there's less than a 50% chance of an event happening, it doesn't mean that one does not have a reasonable fear of persecution. And it also said even if there's a 10% chance of persecution occurring, that should be enough to meet the asylum standard.
And now the judge here did not make any finding as to past persecution.
The judge did not specifically say anything about past persecution, and we think that that's a real flaw in his decision. There has been sort of an assumption on the part of the government that the same findings with regard to future persecution should cover whether or not there was past persecution, and we've taken issue with that in our brief. We've said the record clearly shows past persecution, and that has the effect of shifting the burden to the government. There was no specific shifting of the burden to the government to show that Mrs. Bass no longer has a reasonable fear of persecution. The regulations...
Is that on a theory that the identity of the assailant is more of a problem for future persecution than for past?
Well, the government has taken the position that the inability of Mrs. Bass to specifically identify and potentially name who it was who attacked her and who attacked her husband before is a flaw in the evidence, that because of that, she didn't meet her burden. Well, the evidence shows that you had masked men making certain verbal assertions about why they were doing what they were doing, and it's certainly not reasonable to say that they should, that Mrs. Bass should have been able to name or specifically identify who these people were. It should be enough for this court to accept, as the judge accepted, that the men made references to Mr. Bass's election activities, and there is a reasonable, at least a reasonable possibility, if not greater than that, that these were political operatives of the ruling Socialist Party of Albania, which controls the government and the security forces there.
Well, as to which party they were connected with, the theory seems to be that he wrote letters to his own party, but his own party may have shown the letters to the opposition. That seems a little speculative to me.
I would agree that that's speculative, but it's not necessary for someone to show in a case of past persecution exactly what, you know, who was responsible for putting those events into play. From the time that the bases arrived in the United States, they're even at the airport, they said, "We have come here to seek political refuge, not economic refuge, not for any other reasons." And their story has remained consistent and the same on the subsequent opportunities that they've had to tell it. To the Immigration Service, where they were found to have a credible fear of persecution, to the immigration judge, to the Board of Immigration Appeals, and to this court. Their story is pretty clear. The government takes the position that they should have more. They should have given additional evidence, and also that the government's position seems to be that the harm that befell them could have been due to non-political factors. And I think there are two problems with the government's position. First, to support its theory that there was a non-political motivation, it has to ignore the facts of the base's family's Democratic Party political affiliation and Mr. Bass's own activities. It also has to ignore the statements made by the various attackers, whose own words connect them to the ruling Albanian Socialist Party. And the second big problem with the government's position is that one can scour the administrative record and not find one scintilla of evidence that these attacks were for any reason other than those put forward by Mr. and Mrs. Bass. And as far as whether or not the letters to the Democratic Party caused the attacks, or whether it was other activities preceding the referendum, we don't know that. But the bases themselves have been clear and consistent that it was the Socialist Party that was responsible for the attacks, and there is a reasonable basis in the record, a compelling basis, that that is the case.
Does Mr. Bass have a separate petition?
He had, no, they were included in the same asylum application. For some reason, he was not included on the petition for review. Okay? And I'd like to reserve any rebuttal time then.
Thank you. Story.
May it please the court. Good morning. Julie Doig on behalf of Attorney General John Ashcroft. This is a failure of proof case. The petitioner failed to prove that the attack suffered by her husband and her rape by unknown assailants in Albania were undertaken on account of political opinion or a particular social group, which are statutory requirements to prove a case of asylum. At the outset, I want to point out that this court's review is limited to the record on the asylum denial, since no petition for review was filed with regard to the denial of the motion to reopen. The placement of the information related to the motion to reopen and the decision of the board on that motion in the administrative record before this court does not give this court jurisdiction to hear that claim or to consider that evidence. So therefore, I would ask that some of the argument presented by counsel, which relates to specific evidence on that motion to reopen, not be considered by this court.
Why was the record placed? Why was it in the administrative record then? What's it doing there?
I have no explanation for that, Your Honor.
My colleague said the government put it there.
My belief is that when the record was compiled, at the time the request was made, the decision had been made on that motion, and therefore it was inserted. The records are compiled by non-attorneys. I suspect the person who compiled the record didn't even know the difference, didn't know the jurisdictional issue.
At no time was that record, anybody take any action to make things right?
That information has never been excluded, but as I indicated, the inclusion does not grant this court jurisdiction. Only the timely filing of a petition would grant the court jurisdiction.
The judge didn't make any finding on past persecution.
That's correct, Your Honor, because the judge found that no nexus had been established between the alleged persecution and a protected ground under the Act, and for that reason, he did
that
not.
That was precisely the same for past as for future persecution?
The nexus requirement exists.
Now, why is the nexus identical?
The nexus is a matter of statute, and because it's a part of the statute, it's required. Whether you
I think you have to know more about, if you're going to say somebody's going to be persecuted when they go back, you might have to have more information than you would have if you're ruling on whether they've been persecuted in the past.
I agree that sometimes the evidence will differ. It appears from this record that the allegations related largely to past persecution, which, as my colleague suggested, leads to a presumption that future persecution would also occur. But in this case, because no finding of past persecution was made, because the nexus was not proven, you never even get to the issue of well-founded fear of persecution.
Well, the judge talks about that all the way through the opinion, doesn't he?
He does, and it's not uncommon in these cases for there to be a mixing of the analysis, because some of the analysis of the events could relate to either side, whether to past persecution or to well-founded fear. The judge was perhaps not as clear as he could have been in confining his analysis to either the past persecution or the well-founded fear discussion. But in any event, the petitioner has failed to prove that statutorily required nexus. The alien bears the burden of proof in proving an asylum, and that burden could be met by credible testimony alone. Now, in this case, I'll point out there was no explicit credibility finding by the judge.
He didn't disbelieve the petitioner.
No, Your Honor. He made no credibility finding, positive or negative. However, even if you assumed that the petitioner's testimony was credible, it flew in the face of the record testimony from the State Department, or the record evidence from the State Department, which indicates that that Albanians were not mistreated on account of political opinion, that even in the case of high-ranking officials or other Democratic Party members who were harmed or killed, that there had been no establishment that those events occurred on account of any political opinion or any other statutorily protected ground.
Well, if he didn't disbelieve the petitioner, and the petitioner's testimony was that these comments were made during the beatings and the rape, doesn't that fly in the face of the fact that there might be future persecution?
Well, the presentation of credible evidence alone is not enough, particularly where, as here, there's no nexus shown. And the attribution of political motives by the petitioner
There was some evidence from which a reasonable trier of fact could have found nexus.
Absent the State Department reports, that finding may have been able to have been made in this case. But given the profile and the addendum in the report, which absolutely contradicts the petitioner's testimony, it was incumbent upon them to bring forward other evidence.
Well, just a minute. You're saying that the State Department report, in effect, contradicts what these people had to say, am I right?
That's correct.
So the government wins. You're giving this there's an irrebuttable presumption. We've always suspected you people use that, and I think you just admitted it in open court, that there is an irrebuttable presumption to that State Department document.
No, Your Honor, that's not what I'm saying. What I say is that the petitioner bears the burden of proof. She presented her case. The court requested, as it does in asylum cases, the opinion of the State Department upon this claim. The State Department, in turn, responded with the addendum and the profile, which the judge admitted without objection into the record. That information contained in the State Department report directly contradicts all of the claims made by the petitioners.
Well, the State Department didn't say no political figure has ever been mistreated because of this politics. I mean, they're just talking in broad generalities. That seems to me it doesn't contradict what was said here. That contradicted a pretty tough standards to come up to, it seems to me.
Well, I will take issue.
They may say there's no tendency for this to happen, or something to that effect. That's hardly a contradiction.
I believe the statement department said that there was no mistreatment of Albanians.
Was that statement made for this case in response to a request?
The profile and the addendum were submitted by the State Department in response to a specific request. However, they are not specifically related to this applicant.
Not a request related to this particular case?
No, there was a specific request by the immigration judge and immigration court to the State Department wherein they attach a copy of the asylum application and ask to invite the State Department's comments. In this case, the State Department's comment consisted not of a specific statement regarding this applicant, because they probably had no direct information, but rather the profile and the addendum, which actually is more common in this type of case.
So in this case, I mean, IJ, in effect, had to say to the State Department, help me out here. I got a problem. I'm going to have to grant this one if you guys don't help me out.
Well,
you're telling me that we have to give an absolute conclusive presumption to that.
Actually, the State Department always requests the opinion of the Department of State.
How does the petitioner rebut the statement of country conditions in the profile?
They could have come back with evidence regarding events in their specific region of Albania, of events that have occurred to people.
How about in their specific case?
I'm sorry?
How about in their specific case?
They could, you know, their family members in Albania, some of whom were present at some of these events. They could have presented some evidence, letters, statements. I've seen this sort of thing.
Isn't that what they did? They presented evidence of what happened to them on a couple of occasions, which is contrary to the country report.
The country report was introduced into the record before the asylum merits hearing at which the testimony was taken. So they were aware of this.
Well, the addendum and profile.
The addendum and profile. This potentially conflicting or contradictory evidence in the record. They did not submit any records, any evidence, anything further. Now, they may have submitted it later in relation to the motion to reopen, which again was denied by the board and is not before this court, and that evidence therein is just irrelevant to this particular case because this court reviews the record the board has.
Did the immigration judge actually reference the State Department report?
Yes, he does in his decision, Your Honor, and he discusses it. or maybe not the same words that I've used, but he does discuss the State Department report. And, I mean, there's innumerable forms of evidence that could have been presented that simply were not presented here. Statements of people they know in this country that came from the region. I've seen statements of family members. I've seen evidence from the human rights organizations and newspaper reports. None of that was submitted. And for that reason, the petitioner has simply failed to meet her burden of proof of asylum. And the record evidence here just doesn't compel a finding that she is entitled to asylum under United States immigration law. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Joy. Sir, you have a minute. What happened to the appeal on the motion to reopen?
An appeal on the motion to reopen?
Nobody came? Anything happened to that thing after it was
done? No, nothing happened to it. The petition for review was pending before this court. Yeah. The administrative record was delivered with those materials in it, and if this court refuses to look at them or find that there's no jurisdiction, it's like the 800-pound gorilla in the corner that everyone's looking away from. The problem, I mean, this court has in other immigration cases, one earlier this year, it's not cited in the briefs, but in one case, and I can certainly provide it to you, this court ordered that the Immigration Service or the Office of Immigration Litigation produce additional documentation that wasn't included in the administrative record, and the decision in that case was based on that additional documentation. So for the government to now say that you can't hear additional evidence that it itself put in the record, and you certainly have review of the administrative record, it just doesn't make any sense, and it's hardball litigation that I think the government should be ashamed of. The other points that counsel made in her argument are equally incredible to me. She doesn't mention that the immigration judge did exclude corroborating evidence at the hearing, and her reliance on the State Department's report is nothing less than a distortion of that report. The report that they quote from several times says that the settling of accounts persists, but individuals are rarely targeted for mistreatment on political grounds. It says rarely targeted. Counsel said they're never targeted, or they're not targeted.
And so your point is, this is one of those accounts that the State Department, one of those incidents the State Department says does happen.
It certainly is. But the other thing is that they completely fail to address the other part of those same reports where, and I'm quoting, the Department of State confirms that, quote, Democratic Party members were indeed the victims of numerous attacks and murders. But in Albania's general atmosphere of lawlessness and lax law enforcement, neither culprits nor motives were ever found or confirmed for most of these crimes. So the State Department concedes that these things happen, but that there's no...
Well, even if we give the State Department report the irrebuttable presumption that government would love us to give it, you win.
We certainly would, and I would also cite Galena v. INS, where Judge Posner cogently or acerbically stated that this court should, that State Department reports warrant a healthy skepticism. I see that my time is up. If you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Well, our thanks to both counsel for their submissions in this difficult case. That concludes the call before the court this morning. Therefore, we will rise until 9:30 tomorrow. Thank you.